until signs of deficiency, such as yellow leaves, appeared. Then they scattered desert dust on the leaves of half of the specimens of each species, while taking steps to stop any of it reaching the soil. After this, though the dust-dosed maize continued to suffer from phosphorus deficiency, the wheat and chickpea plants perked up and grew to more than double the size of their undusted lab mates. What is more, these species were clearly ready for the dust's arrival. As soon as a lack of phosphorus announced itself, two things happened. Their leaves became hairier, and therefore better at capturing dust, and those leaves also started secreting acid fluids that could dissolve any incoming appetite, assisting phosphorus's absorption. That plants can take up phosphorus through their leaves is not of itself news to farmers, for this was established in the 1950s. But until now, the practical consequence of such knowledge has been that crops are sprayed with liquid fertilizer derived in turn from appetite-containing rocks, which have been treated with acid. Dusting leaves could, Dr. Gross suggests, be an alternative and more efficient way of providing desert-derived crop species with the phosphorus they need. And maybe not just those. His next plan is to look at avocado and cocoa trees, which evolved in tropical regions of the Americas that regularly get a helpful transatlantic dose of Saharan dust carried westward by the trade winds. It will be interesting to see if they are up to the same tricks as wheat and chickpeas.